With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's the Anfield Happy People Cry. Neil Atkinson, Rob Gutman, Paul Cope and Chris Maguire. People crying is a genuine threat. Early doors. Copey, what are you putting your chances of crying at?
It's up there. I'd say high 70%.
High 70% of tears.
Yeah.
Rob Gutman, are tears likely?
I suppose so. No, I'm okay. If we have to talk about the football, yeah. Can we talk about anything but the football?
We're going to talk about the football, Rob, for an hour.
Okay.
An hour.
I just have my head in my hands.
At some point, you're going to tell me that we need to get a result against Southampton, and I might kill myself when you do that. So let's look forward to that.
I'd rather you than me.
I'm positioning myself in a way that I can protect Rob from you at some point in this show.
Hey, Neil, would you take third in the League Cup now?
Fuck off, Rob.
That'd be a good season, wouldn't it?
I think it would, Chris.
Finishing third.
Do you think it'd be a good season? I think it'd be a great. You know what? We'd have won a cup. We'd have finished there. We'd be in the top four.
Hey, we'd have had a good day out.
And 12:30 kickoffs from now till the rest of the season. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
We'd have a good day out, wouldn't we? Hey, we'd have a good day out.
That's In all seriousness,
I
was still talking to Danny about that Chelsea game, which is our next league game. Is Chelsea at home
in 10 days' time?
Yeah, is it 10 days?
Now 9 days.
Yeah,
9 days.
Yeah, but it's our next league game, and let's think about it like this. It's really, really binary now, isn't it? I'm so glad that it's our very next league game, because if we don't win it, we aren't winning the league, and we can start even pretending we're going to win the league, because they're going to win today. We were recording this before Chelsea beat. Who are they going to beat today?
Hull.
Before they beat Hull and establish a 10-point lead on us. If they beat us at Anfield, it's 13 points. We don't even have to talk about the league. We can decide what we want out of football life, our holidays. We can have a whole new conversation. Yeah. We might even decide we like third in the League Cup, Neil, but I won't even mention that again. But if we win, and it's not impossible, and it's just a 7-point gap, and the confidence of beating them, the season's back on. And today, the pain we feel today will be but a fleeting memory.
Can we just play them today?
I would like to play them today.
Can we just play them today, and then that's done, one way or the other.
Can we just do it today? You're going to have to get through Southampton.
Can I give the team talk?
I'm not sure if we do it today. It makes us feel any better, because the frame of mind I'm in, I'd be like, so how far behind them are we? 7. Done before. If we'd beat Swansea, wouldn't it? That's the frame of mind I'm in.
And they'd have a game.
It's not helping me.
But they'd have today's game in hand.
We can't expect them to play twice in a day.
No, that'd be unfair.
That'd be unfair. We can't expect them to play us and then play Hull at home.
No.
If nothing else, they've got to deal with the traffic.
Yes, yeah. But Hull, what if Hull win today? Oh my God,
that would be. I'll be furious about that as well. Yeah, the frame of mind I'm in, I'll be furious.
No, I'm still. I think the only thing that can save not just my weekend, but possibly my entire life is a whole victory. That's the only thing that I can say.
He's got a new manager, haven't he?
Oh, he's great. He's a genius.
Yeah. Hmm.
Have you seen him? Look at him.
Neil sucksacking Jürgen and getting this guy in.
Oh, let's get rid of that prick.
I used to say that, like, what Swansea did to us yesterday can't
happen. It could happen, Chris. Chris, this is a can-do attitude.
This is why we love football.
This is a can-do attitude I can get right behind. So if you're listening to this and Hull have already beaten Chelsea, then you're listening and you're thinking, you know what, Chris Maguire was a wise man.
Yeah.
He was a wise man. As it is, we're going to talk about what Swansea did do to Liverpool, or more accurately, what I think Liverpool did to themselves, Chris. It's rare. I think it's the manager's worst day in the job. And it's his worst day in the job so far. It's rare. I'm particularly critical of him in general. I think he's a lovely man. I think he's got a great philosophy. I think he's done brilliant things with Liverpool Football Club, and I think he will continue to do so. But I could have sat down beforehand, and as I said, of all the options in front of me, the idea of pushing Lallana into the front three and having that midfield would have been the one, as I said, don't do that. Because for me, Liverpool cocked the game up in the first half. We'll come on to talk about the second, but for me, Liverpool should be all over Swansea first half. Swansea should be getting into the break. Glad it's only 2-0. Liverpool have banged on the door all the way through the half. They've not given them a minute's peace, whereas the opposite happened. Swansea got to believe.
Yeah. I don't really know where to start with the sort of with breaking it down to find out where the problems started. First of all, I think it's probably with the sort of training session aspect of it that we sort of had for the first half. It was probably a symptom of the early kickoff, probably a symptom of, you know, the noise in the ground maybe. We just thought we were expected to beat Swansea at home, the bottom of the league. you know, Klopp's gone with his sort of his safe bets, if you like. You know, he's trying to play Emre Can into some sort of form, despite the fact that he's out of form. You know, he had a good game against Man United last week. But then, you know, like Emre Can does, he can come back and have a stinker a week later. He's very hesitant to make substitutions. The manager, he's basically sitting in his chair for 45 minutes, you know, trying to fend off the cold weather. He's not on his feet like he was against Man United, like he was against Man City. And all of this, I just think it must have an impact on the players. And, you know, the expectation, like I said before, that you're playing against the bottom of the league, you know, you're probably expected to score nice, easy goals against them. But as we've seen time and time again in this league, it's a cliche, but there's no easy games, especially when you're getting into the second half of the season when teams are fighting for their lives. They've got a new manager. You've just got to put them to the sword. But if there's no cutting edge there, and you're not playing to the best of your abilities against these like teams that you've played against, like the Man Cities, the Chelseas, the Uniteds, it's just heartbreaking to see, really.
The selection did not astound me exactly, but I was disappointed in it, because we talked about this in the preview shows, and I said Liverpool function best in very modern times, including going back to Brendan Rodgers' time, when we play four attacking players ahead of a midfield two effect, whether you call it 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3 or whatever. The four attacking players being this season, when we've been at our best, Coutinho, Firmino, Lallana, and somebody else I always forget.
Mane,
obviously. And we didn't start with four attacking players. We started with three very central midfield players and three attacking players, of whom one has become a midfielder in Lallana. So, and this is against a low blocking team, and in a period where our confidence isn't at the height necessary to deal with low blocking teams routinely. We needed more guile, more intricacy, more creativity. And when you lose your best of your attacking players, and I think Mane has been that this season, you don't compensate for it by putting bluntness in the mix. Unless you're going away for a draw at Old Trafford, say, you add more attacking players. In fact, you know, in a case for starting with one of the strikers. So it seemed predestined to not work, and it looked that way. It was blunt, there was no tempo. I mean, you look back, there's a couple of half chances for the Emre Can header and the Lallana overhead kick, but there's not enough. And as you said, we gave Swansea that confidence.
Yeah, I sort of with Chris, where to start with it all. It goes back to something Gibbo said on the preview show about when we were discussing Daniel Sturridge, and he sort of summed it up for me that you can debate Daniel Sturridge all you like, but when you see him on the team sheet, it makes you smile. And we often talk about what do the other team not want to see you do, and I don't care. Like I'm generally try to be quite reasonable when talking about Klopp and other managers and say, well, they obviously know well more than we do, but. Swansea are getting battered all the time now, and if they see a team sheet come into their dressing room that's got Lallana in midfield, Sturridge, Firmino and Coutinho up front, they all go, shit, it's going to be hard, this isn't it, this first half's going to be hard. Where, how long do you reckon Coutinho and Sturridge can play? They played midweek, maybe if we get to 60, do you think we can get to 60? I don't think we can, you know. Can we get to 15? Can we even get to 5 minutes without them scoring? Danny Sturridge is great. And instead they get a team sheet that comes in, and we've all watched this all season, and so has Jurgen Klopp, that midfield does not work. I've defended Emre Can recently, and the reality is this, I said this at half time in the game, the reality is this: Emre Can is great against Man United at Old Trafford. He was great because he gets to run around and use his physicality and be fast and close people down and nick the ball. And then when he nicks the ball, he gets to run into 30 yards of space because we're away at Old Trafford and they're attacking us. And then he gets to pass off the ball to someone else. That's Emre Can. That's the best you'll get out of Emre Can. He can't do that against the team at home when he just picks the ball up and he's looking at 11 fellas. The lad who sits next to me, who will remain nameless throughout this. He said at one point, because we're so high up, you're looking down on it. After about 20 minutes, Emre Can was just wandering around the pitch in a sort of outside left position,
yep,
not having a clue what to do with himself. He looked like me playing footy, going, what do I do now? Where do I go? And he was walking around. And you're like, this isn't good. This is right in front of Klopp. It's not good enough, mate. In this game, this is not what we need. And it all stems from there. There's a further point on the team selection, which I only got onto this morning because I got into the game late. So I hadn't seen the subs. So I'm saying, was Ojo on the bench? No, no Ojo on the bench. And then I realised this morning, we had on the bench for home against Swansea, Lucas, Matip and Moreno. Why do we need those three lads on the bench? When are they all going to come in useful in this game? Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
He's shit, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, you struggle, actually. I mean, most of the time I think I can second guess Jürgen, because and that's why I like him so much as a manager, because he does what I want managers to do all the time.
What I don't understand is that he's clearly picked it. He's sat down this season, and before the ball's kicked, he said he wants, what does he want his midfield to do? He's dropped Henderson 15 yards deeper so he moves it faster. He's dropped Lallana 20 yards deeper so that he gets involved and he plays on the half. He's bought Wijnaldum, everyone who said was a number 10, and he's using him 25 yards deeper because he wants to play expansive football, keep the ball. He's got his own ideas in mind there. And he's gone, this is what I want to do. And that's what I find difficult, is I understand completely away at Old Trafford, you pick a certain team to do a certain job to get you over the line. That's fine. But surely everything he's worked on in the summer, Rob, was this is what I do against Swansea at home. This is what we do against Swansea at home.
Yeah.
And that every idea he's had all the way through this has been, this is what you do against Swansea at home. That's where you've had him at his best, you've had his team at his best. This is what we're going to do against Swansea at home, and this is how we're going to sort this out. And Swansea at home come, and for some reason, it could just simply be fitness, it could be personnel, it could be obviously that Mané's away. I think if Mané's away, then it's a different team. But for some reason, that's what he compromises. And that's where you're watching it going, good God.
Yeah, I don't know what his thinking is. You know what? I think if I had my time again, I'd have had Coutinho and Lallana ahead of Henderson in the midfield three. I'd have taken two of his front three and pulled them back into midfield, and then thought, how many strikers have I got at this club? They can all be the front lads. You know what I mean? And I'd Firmino, Sturridge and Origi. And so there were effectively two attacks attacking them. That's what it needed.
In the first 45.
Yeah, Klopp. If Klopp was here with us now, you know, he's not stupid. In fact, he's cleverer than we are at football. I suspect it'd be something to do with, maybe it's something to do with legs. I mean, he may also be looking at Sturridge. I think the problem is, if we're to make the changes, and I'll defend him now, having attacked him, make the changes we would have liked, it's about use of Sturridge and Origi. And he's obviously looked at them both in Plymouth midweek and in training and gone, you two are shit at the moment. I'm totally with Paul's viewpoint that Sturridge makes me smile. I mean, Sturridge could be 70 and put on a Liverpool pitch and I'd still make me smile, because you'd think he'd still ping one in from 25 yards somewhere along the line. The sad reality is that Daniel Sturridge is not playing very well for one reason or another. He comes on yesterday and we were joking about it while sitting next to you, Neil. He didn't touch the ball for about 10-15 minutes. It was unbelievable, and we could blame the rest of the team, but I don't quite know what he was doing. Origi, I nearly know, is a lost soul. There's no other way of expressing it. So he's hit, and Coutinho clearly isn't fit because he takes him off after 55 minutes. So the bases are loaded against him. I think the Matip thing has not probably helped in the week. I mean, defensively, we went back to, you know, beginning to look like quite a decent defensive unit at times. And even without Matip, with Clavin then, really looking like we're beginning to know what we're doing. Suddenly it's Keystone Kops things again. And you just realise this isn't about personnel, it's about mentality. And there's something very wrong with us mentally
at
the moment.
It's about mentality, but it's also about luck. I mean, Swansea threw three darts yesterday and they hit the bullseye with everyone.
They did. That's
that's basically the top and bottom of it.
Everyone keeps forgetting, though, Chris, they hit the post in the first half.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pop shot on the break against the run of play. It was a lucky deflection, I think. The goalie had it covered.
But we didn't have any chances. That's the problem. I'd agree with you on that, because you go, you know what, if we get the first goal, we win that 4-0, right? We could don't hear that argument. But you look at that first half. In fact, you look until the point they score. We never look like we're going to score that first goal. There's only two chances we have. And one's the Emre Can header, where, you know, he heads it miles wide and it's actually offside. And the other one's the Lallana overhead kick, which would have been a fantastic goal. But Jesus, if you're counting on an overhead kick as your chance.
There's always an expectation that we are going to score when it matters and when we need to, and we actually did that twice.
We had to
come back. I mean, but getting back to the original point about Sturridge and maybe Matip, I think he must have trust issues with certain players, and he's also got loyalty issues as well. So he's got loyalty with Clavin. I mean, I had the pink last night and I had to agree with the point that, Clavin shouldn't have any issue being dropped and being rested or becoming the third choice centre half. You know, Matip must be eager to play. He doesn't know you know, if he's going to be playing up until 2 days before. So I can understand if there's been a training ground sort of you know, practice going into that where Matip hasn't been involved. But then again, I mean, he's a centre half. He looks like a cultured footballer. He should understand how it works. With Sturridge, I just don't think he trusts him. You know, I don't know. I mean, Sturridge doesn't seem to be putting in the same amount of work that he had done in previous seasons. And as we know, Klopp's teams are all about running around, aren't they, and being physical. And Origi just looks like he's regressed. And even though he's scored a few goals the last couple of months, he's completely out of sorts again. So I think he has to go with the players that he's gone with. Because he trusts them. But I think that they're overtrained now and they do need to be rotated. And Klopp's very, very very slow to make substitutions. He's very slow to rotate his team. You know, other managers, like the likes of Benitez, would have rotation in his game, and he'd have substitutions at specific points in the second half as well. Klopp doesn't work like that, does he? And
I think the Sigurdsson goal, though, if you look at, if we try to be balanced about, I suppose the Sigurdsson goal is the defining moment of that game. Because I felt 2-2, I thought, I don't want to say this out loud because I'll jinx it in that sort of superstitious support away, but I thought we're winning this 4-2 now.
Yeah.
The wind was with us, and you thought we're a good side. We've come back strongly there. Goal down to 2-2 in a matter of minutes is strong. I mean, if we then score the third, we go, tell you what, this Liverpool team's got character. It's decent. Look, when it needed goals, it got goals. That's what we were about to be saying, and then 2 minutes later, Sigurdsson.
Well, this is where it's dead interesting when you talk about the substitutions, because again, I think he and a lot of this does feel as though you're going to be very critical of the manager. But I will also say that, you know, if you want Jürgen Klopp at his best, and we all do, you're also going to have to put up with the matter's worst. That's the case for every manager. There's never been a manager in the history of football, Dalglish, Paisley, Shankly, Ferguson, Busby, you name the manager. This can be said about them, Paul, that, you know, they've got their own way of doing things, and as soon as they stop doing things their own way, anyway, you're in trouble. But there is an argument around the Origi sub to just ask him to sit down for 2 minutes.
Sit down. Yeah.
Just go and have a sit down for 2 minutes, mate. Because we've just gone 2-2. But the other thing that Origi sub does, and this is where, again, talking about what the opposition don't want you to do, there's a lot of front who scored two.
It takes Firmino off the middle, doesn't it?
And you're dropping him 15, 20 yards deeper. And he's just scored two. And they're going, Christ, this lad's good, can't live with him here. He's scored two goals. And suddenly now, he's no longer playing up front, he's no longer between the sticks. And you know, there is, as I say, we talked in the past, we praised the manager and this is the problem, you praise the manager for something, we praised him. He says, you know, it's good that when he makes his mind up. But there is an argument there to say, you know, what we do here is that we just dig in for 5 minutes, we just see where we are in 5 minutes' time. Sorry, son, you're going to have to go and sit down because we've just gone 2-2 and I don't want to move the lads who scored both the goals.
I think there's a bit of both in this, though, because I've got no problem with Origi still coming on. But I have got a huge problem with Firmino coming out the middle.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And they're not mutually exclusive. I've listened to The Pink this morning, and Jacko mentioned about talking about it, bringing on Origi on the right side or whatever. There's a way of getting Origi. I said on the preview show, no matter the problem Sturridge gives you is, Sturridge wants to play down the middle. And if I was Liverpool's manager, I would never, ever, ever take Firmino out the middle of our strike force. I just wouldn't do it. You saw yesterday how good he is, especially when Coutinho's around him and he buzzes. He's got the pickpocket thing. He works so hard. He looked, that goal yesterday, that second goal was more Suarez-like than we've seen of him so far. It was absolutely brilliant. I even said, because I gave Wijnaldum credit for what he did in it. But the reality is, without Firmino being absolutely amazing in the middle of the box, that cross by Wijnaldum's awful. He's just lofted one into the pen spot and hope for the best. He does great to take it down, lofts one into the box, and how often did we see that with Suarez? Enrique would just knock one long, and Suarez go, watch what I'll do with that lad. And Enrique gets an assist, and everyone goes, it's good, that combination, isn't it? It's just Enrique not knocking the ball long into the box, lads. That's not a combination. Right. That's just Suarez being unbelievably good. So when he's got Origi there, I'm happy. I'm fine for him to come on, because you know what? It's 2-2. Their lads look up the touchline and go, they're making us up. Who are they bringing on? Oh, a massive fast lad who scores loads of goals. Because this is the other thing about football players. Football players are like football fans. They don't. When we're talking about them seeing the team sheet, they're not looking at Daniel Sturridge on the team sheet and going, yeah, but you know, Liverpool fans aren't that happy with him, are they? Some of them don't like him and he doesn't work that hard. They're going, Danny Sturridge is good at footy, isn't he? He scores loads of goals. When Origi comes on, if you put Firmino in the middle, he's got Sturridge off him, and then you go to Origi, play right wing, mate. Just have loads of width and just keep running at their fullback. And we'll, if we have to, we'll knock the ball over the top. Come on for Klein. Just bombard them at that point, their heads would fall off.
It's like because then when you've got Rooney all your attackers on next last week. When Rooney came on, we all know the talk about Rooney being finished or thing he doesn't like him or whatever. We still know he's Wayne Rooney. You still know he's a lad who's got goals against us and against teams. And you go, fuck's sake. Yeah, it was like exactly. I think putting the striker on was the right move. I think taking Firmino out of the middle was the wrong move. I totally agree with you about Firmino. That was a Suarez moment. But he was doing Suarez things earlier in the game as well.
Yeah.
We talked about that half chance for Lallana, the overhead kick. What Firmino contributes to that by way of a near assist is incredible. Yeah. Remember what he does there? He's down the right-hand side and he feints to go one way and just doubles. But I don't know how his body does what he does.
Yeah.
And leaves the guy dead and then clips over a perfect cross, really. No, it was. He really looked a high watermark level of striker, didn't he, yesterday?
It also gives the Swansea defence, a breather, doesn't it? You know, if you're playing against Firmino and he's done what he's done to you twice already, you're made up to see him moving away from you, aren't you? You're giving yourself a little break, aren't you?
Were you surprised that Coutinho went off quite that early?
Yeah, obviously he's been injured recently, hasn't he? And the fact that Henderson has as well. And Coutinho, they're our two main sort of creative players, if you like, and that's undoubtedly has an effect on the way we played. And I was surprised that he came off. Yeah,
I thought. By the way, you mentioned Henderson. I thought Henderson was fantastic yesterday. It was one of the few lights for me. I thought his passing was tremendous.
It's funny though because this comes back to the point I've made in the past about watching players through your own opinion of them. Because in the first half, he gave the ball away about five or six times trying to play passes that just weren't coming off, and you could see it's funny watching it now because you can see the crowd getting really frustrated. But watch the player. Jordan Henderson isn't giving the ball away and going, ah well. He was furious with himself, and then the great thing about someone like Jordan Henderson now is he's managed himself through that game. He's misplaced three or four, five passes in the first half that completely killed our momentum, and he sorted himself out. And after that, I thought he was great.
Yeah, he does lose the ball, but he's going to do that in that position. That's just going to happen. And also, he likes to play a ball quickly to get the tempo we need.
Unforced errors, though, Rob. It's not like anyone's putting him under pressure in the position that he's playing. I don't think he played well. I'm looking at misplaced passes and saying you should be doing better.
I looked at it back again, and I'm not vindicated because I watched it's only the highlights I've seen back again. But there's a number of really, really nice switches of the ball. I did say to Neil during the game yesterday, some of his quality on the ball here is a bit Gerrard-like, I've been critical of Henderson. I think sometimes he's given too much credit because he's not good enough on the ball, or he's too inconsistent on the ball. But I thought he was really good. I mean, the first goal, we're really stuck in a bit of a rut, passing across some bit of their defence and not looking at there's any penetration. And he does what Gerrard sometimes used to do in those things, and sometimes people call it a Hollywood pass. But he looks up and he sees Milner. He goes, there is 2 yards of space there, but I have to find him accurately. And he backs himself. He finds Milner, and from that, I think Milner then gets the cross in from which Firmino scores.
Yeah.
And I like to see that in Henderson's game, that bit of quality.
Okay. I don't think he played well.
We'll agree to that.
What about you, Neil?
I thought he played well. I think it's interesting in that I think that one of the reasons, and people get annoyed when you say this sort of thing, I actually think he's thinking, I've got to force this a bit more. Because these two in front of me are fucking puddings, and I think that there was an element of him thinking, "I'm not just going to bypass these two here. I'm not going to feed it. I think this balls he's playing that he doesn't play if Lallana's in front of him. He just thinks I'll just pass to Lallana.
Yeah, that's true.
And it goes from there. And I think I thought first off, and I think there's something else as well. And I was actually thinking this whilst I was watching the game. I wondered the extent to which the manager may well have had conversations with Firmino and Henderson with regard to it's all right if you lose it a little bit. One of the reasons why is to then win it back in these games. I actually think there's an argument to say if you're going to do the gegenpress and stuff, and we're going to talk about that sort of thing where you play a ball into their final third, they've got the ball, and then you win it back quick. Well, to do that, you've got to lose it.
Yeah.
If you sort of know what I mean. So I wonder if, again, there's been a conversation. And it looks at times like Firmino, and whether it's just the way they're playing, whether or not they're just listening to the manager's instructions more in general, it looked at times like Firmino and Henderson were just much more likely to try stuff than the players around them. But then both of them, it may just be their own personalities, both of them, when it doesn't come off, they're so aggressive in wanting to win it back, and they are for each other. So when Henderson pinged it in towards the front three and it doesn't work, you can see Firmino's like a shot, right, as we win this back dead fast. Similarly, you could see Henderson a couple of times when things weren't coming off up front, he was absolutely like a shot to come in and win it. But it could just be that he's following instructions better. I don't know. I mean, without being in dressing rooms and hearing conversations, you can't be sure. But I thought he did all right. And I thought his attitude was spot on. And I think there's a couple of them where I don't think the attitude was great. And I think that probably wins him extra Gutman bonus points.
I was just going to say, I think it's worth pointing out as well that Henderson's just come back from injury. So
yeah.
those balls that I saw him trying to... And it, let's be right. When I'm talking about giving the ball away, he wasn't trying to play a five-yard pass that he was giving away. He's trying to do the thing you're talking about, which is switch play. And the reality is, he's not in rhythm. And he's trying to find his way back into that, and getting that range of passing back isn't something. Klopp talked about it post-match. Coutinho can't just drop straight back in and be at the level we've seen it before. Well, the same goes for Henderson, and I think actually he got back into his passing stride much quicker than I thought it, considering how badly he had a bit of a spell in the first half. So I think overall he's good. It would be interesting to watch the whole thing back to see how the goals we conceded, whether they bore any resemblance to Henderson's positioning, because I just think there was a bit too much of holes in the middle of the pitch.
Do you know who's at the scene of the crimes with all the goals, I think? And I'm not blaming him for this, but he seems to be maybe the deepest of the midfielders in defensive crises moments, was Wijnaldum. I'd need to see it again, but I didn't see Henderson in the mix. Now, whether that's they've told Henderson not to be tracking and overexerting in those situations, but yeah, but that'd be interesting to see that back.
We will do at some point, I'm sure.
We talk about the League Cup?
Not yet. there's a time limit on when we can start to talk about the League Cup. I think it's when I'm not in the room. There is the next part of this, and I think it's important to say that you said before, Chris, Swansea throw three darts, they have three bullseyes. But credit to them for that, to a certain extent. And that's, you know, you've got to acknowledge that there's 11 lads who are trying to stop you from doing stuff and are trying to do stuff themselves. And Swansea, they took time out of the game really, really well. We've got to get a strategy together to deal with that. They managed to find a way. They countered well. When they did counter, they got the bounce of the ball, but, you know, they still did well. And the shape was good. And, you know, all of these things are things that football teams are going to do to you and they're going to do against you. And they finished well. And across the board, you've got to sort of say, well, they did all right.
Well done. They definitely had a game plan. You know, like most poor sides, they came to Anfield just to frustrate us and to hit us on the break, which is exactly what they've done. They scored from a set piece, yet again Liverpool conceding from a set piece. So, you know,
for a while, have we? Seems like. Is that, am I right?
Maybe not, but it's still bad, isn't it? The first goal. What's the header is just fantastic.
That's a brilliant goal.
Lorenzi's header. That was trying to think what the second goal was. You know, and maybe you could say that, and it's a great goal as well. The little flick over to down the wing past Klein. It's a lovely play.
The cross is unbelievable.
So you've got to say, well, that's fantastic. It's probably a goal will be fitting their position. You know, making a mockery of their position in the league. You know, it's a skillful goal. They must feel like they won the jackpot. They came to Anfield and basically played on our frailties. We had a terrible day at the office.
Their spawniness is the third one.
It was dead lucky, the third one. You know, Clavin's on the floor trying to get a toe at it. It runs into their lad, but then you're asking questions, why isn't Klein there covering anyway? And it's probably a symptom of the way the game was at the time. We were pushing up and basically we were all out of position. Just a bad day, and it was just one of those days. I know that's bad. That's a bad thing to take, but it was just one of those.
it's a terribly. You have to think if we had that, you know, the proverbial big 5 minutes and not conceded a soft sucker punch goal like that, we probably would have won that game. It's kind of nuts. But maybe that is mental strength. To be fair, actually, it takes Swansea to have mental strength to get themselves that high up the pitch after against the team that are on the ascendancy and have pulled back to 2-2. That's bold by Swansea. That they've got their luck. But
I thought it was a very physical, strong side. He looked really big, didn't he? Maybe that's just Lorenzi, just sort of, you know, putting all the focus on himself because he scores two goals. Like, but they looked massive.
Something else with them as well, though, which was frustrating to watch for us, but brilliant for them. And we need to take a bit more of a leaf out of this book. It's the nasty side of the game and the cheating side of the game. And we've talked about it. We talked about it after the United game with Sean on the review about Herrera. And I always love watching Herrera play because he's just a gnarly little bastard, and he's great at footy, but he'll also just pull you back and take a yellow card, and he's not bothered. And the reality is that third goal in
there's about three jump on his back moments. Yeah. Just jump on his back.
And I do think, look, I have seen Jordan Henderson do this, but I think it's something he needs to really embrace if he's going to play this position. He just needs to take people out. I don't care. Like, if Tom Carroll's running with the ball, I saw that they'd signed Carroll and Olsen before we did the preview show, and I didn't even mention it because I thought, oh, they can't have that big an impact, these two lads. One's from Norwich, one's from Spurs reserves, I think. So, but Tom Carroll looked like a world beater again, and I'm sick of coming up against lads like Carroll and leaving the game going, he's good, isn't he? Because he's not that good. And the reality is, if Herrera's in that midfield, he just pulls his shirt. 50 yards from goal, he just pulls his shirt and he goes, lads, let's defend the set piece. Because I know what Chris is saying, we didn't defend that first corner well, but we are much, much better now at defending set pieces. Away at Old Trafford, we did it great most of the time. And that was against a big, big team as well. So there's got to be times when we just have to be nasty. They did it loads, especially in the last sort of 20 minutes, going down, getting someone to knock the ball out of play. They don't care if they get the ball back. They're not arsed. They just kill the whole momentum of the whole game. Llorente just sits on the floor. What's wrong with you, mate? So, I don't know, not really. But you'll have to stop the game because I'm sitting on the floor. And we need to learn more of that. That's how you win leagues.
Yeah, they were time-wasting ruthlessly, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, and the ref, of course, adds on one extra minute.
I don't want to talk about the ref. He's an absolute gobshite.
Kevin Friend, wasn't it? Yeah.
Sit next to Jacko with a ref like that. Jesus Christ.
Ain't no friend of mine.
What about the boosting Clavin got for his obstruction? Do you think that's a yellow card?
I don't remember it.
When the lad's running through,
he just stands still. Basically,
he has to no longer exist.
The lad miscontrols it. The ball goes 6 yards to the right of both of them. He's not going to pick it up, so he decides to just run into Clavin to get the foul and he gets the yellow. He gets booked very early on in the game, and then Clavin actually does the same thing again. I think it's in the second half, but you're worried that he might get sent off. But the referee just decides to. I think he gave a bounce ball or something, didn't he? He didn't even give a foul.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, I mean, where's the consistency?
This is the problem with refs like him. No, we don't like to talk about refs, but the number of times where we had the ball, it was just dead easy to give us advantage. The advantage is meant to be with the attacking team. And he pulls up and gives us a free kick.
Five
and we're all going,
things.
Are you joking, mate? Like, we literally had them one-on-one at the edge of their box. Firmino one-on-one, facing on, about to get into the box. And you've pulled us up and give us a free kick 50 yards from goal. And Swans have gone, nice one, mate. Thanks for that. We'll all get organised now.
Yeah.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
And this free kick being taken from the right place, rolling ball.
Yeah.
You know, everything out. Honestly, the extent to which I actually thought there was a chance, I thought Henderson might go. Because Henderson's the only one who seems to talk to the referee, and he was going bananas. Yeah. And I felt a bit sorry for him because he was going bananas at him about four or five times. And it did feel like going, do you not understand how this is meant to work, lads?
Yeah.
Do you not understand the process of this? And there's another thing here, which is that, and that's why Swansea are doing it, and I don't understand why someone doesn't get a grip of the referee, even at half-time as he's coming off, and just say, you realise we need to have constant momentum. Do you realise that, mate? Do you just realise that that's how we play? So don't do that. Think twice. Just if you got one wrong before right, it suits us.
Yeah, we'll let you off.
And I think that we don't talk about referees because Liverpool don't. I don't think I asked last night if Liverpool deserve anything from the game, and I don't think Liverpool do deserve anything from the game because of that first half. The second half's mad. It becomes a bit of a crazy game of footy, and Liverpool are throwing things and etc. And they play a bit better, and a couple of them sharpen up. But I don't think Liverpool deserve to win the game, regardless of the referee, because of the way they approached that first half, the lack of intensity from the players, the selection from the manager, all that. Liverpool don't deserve anything from the game. It's important to say that to then say, and the referee was shite.
I think there's a problem. Referees don't understand. They don't read a game and go, I'm now refereeing a game where one of these sides wants to take the piss out of the fact that I'm on the pitch and use me to win them the game.
Yeah.
That's what they don't ever have the wit to see. And go, hang on. Occasionally they'll point to their watch in that schoolmaster, like, oh, I'm on to you, lads. Yeah. And it never manifests itself. I'd love to see you get 12 minutes added on and the team go, fucking hell, just what you did the other week. Put 12 minutes on.
Yeah.
That, but that needs to happen. It's bullshit. They rolled around, they had the fake injury.
Ages over goal kicks. How long does it take to take a goal kick, lads? It doesn't take this long.
At the time, should have gone on indefinitely in that game. It should have just kept going because they put up 4 minutes,
yes,
and then after 2 minutes, I went to the lads next to me. There's another 2 minutes of stoppages in this 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just keep playing. Until the ref should have gone to them all. Until you stop doing this, you knobheads. We're going to keep playing. We'll just keep going.
It's a football match lasts 94 minutes, let's be right, doesn't it? It always lasts 94 minutes unless no one uses their subs. It's 94 minutes. So all the piss taking equals lots more. It's a major problem. I mean, I think I said to you yesterday, or was it Nev? I said it's Mike Nevin. Why can't we just do what they do in most normal sports and things and stop the clock? Just stop the clock. How hard is it?
So
make football
knows.
An 80-minute game, maybe, but stop the clock. Every time. And we can have a proper sport. I mean, I know we're whinging because we lost it, but you know what? It's not just the losing. It's losing and feel and the frustration of the way it's done to you.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't come away from it feeling, yeah, we deserve nothing. You think, yeah. But I don't know.
My mate said to me, that after, would you take a point now? Like, obviously, we're chasing the game. It was 3-2. And I said, well, yeah, a point's better than nothing. And he was just like, fuck, we don't deserve anything out of it. You know, I wouldn't even take a point. If you look at football as being a lottery, and, you know, Swansea bought the winning ticket, didn't he? So it's just the way it pans out sometimes. And you've just got to say, look, we didn't deserve anything out of the game, even though we got ourselves back to 2-2 with two great goals from Firmino. And it looked like
if we'd have made it 3-2, I'd be sitting here now, yeah, and I'd be saying we got away with one there. You know, we've got away with
good days, like, but,
yeah. I mean, I'd be buzzing, but I'd be saying we got away with one.
Mm. Yeah, to counter the we should have just played indefinitely with the stoppage time thing. The reason I don't think we deserve to win, aside from the first half, is I was absolutely furious with the Matip sub. Absolutely furious with it. I hate that. And you know, when we talk about processes and all of that, well, what you've done there, Jürgen, is you've thrown it out the window. For the however many minutes he was on the pitch, because what you've done to your lads is, instead of being like Ferguson and going, we always do this, we just play and play and play and play and play, and then their heads fall off and we score, and once we've scored we play again and they score, we score again, and then we win by one or two in stoppage time, and everyone goes, how did that happen? You've got to be scared of these lads. Instead, we put a massive centre half on up front and start launching the ball to him.
Yeah.
And what showed how bad we are at doing that, because we don't do it, and that's not how we play, is I'm not sure we hit his head once with any long balls. How big is he? 6'6" or something? And we didn't hit him once. It was absolutely ludicrous. You're like, lads, what are we going to do now, Gaffer? Just knock it long to the centre half. I'm going to put him up front. Oh, we've never practiced that. Well, all you have to do, lads, is kick it long and put it on his head. And it's like, oh, yeah, how do we do that? If kept it in Origi. And at 1.8 Lallana, and you're like, lads, just hit it towards the massive lad.
No.
I think it's the stupidest tactic any of the managers do. Because you go,
if it
really works, then you should be doing it. Then let's play that way. That's our game.
Exactly.
I remember the first time I ever really saw it in a Liverpool manager, Souness did it in 92, when he started shoving Ruddock up front when we were losing games at Anfield. I saw it work a couple of times, unfortunately.
He did it last season with Colker.
Yeah, he did it last season, a couple of times
with Colker. So he's probably thinking, I'll just do a bit of this here.
Well, do you know what? That's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. But don't criticise other managers for doing it. I saw some United fans on Twitter after the game, and they were revelling in it, loved it, and rightly so, because you can't moan about Fellaini coming on and being lashed in the box and them knocking the ball in. And do you know what, give United credit, they don't put Fellaini on and just launch hopeful balls to him. They get into areas. That goal they scored, they got into an area, they put the ball on his head. Sound, that's fine. You're just playing a different type of footy now. That's different options. Doing what we did, fine. If you want to do that, great. Don't criticise everyone else for doing it.
Yeah, it was our equivalent to putting the goalie off front, wasn't it? It was just it was the last thing you do before that, and it just doesn't signal goodness, does it? You think, and to the opposition, they go, oh, fuck it, these are gone.
Oh, they're made up with that, aren't they? Wait, for your Swansea, this is the opposite of seeing Origi coming on and playing instead of Klein. You're looking at this going, brilliant. So what are they going to do? I'm a centre-back. Speak to Jacko, what does he want to see you do for the last 10 minutes? Just knock the ball long, and I'll just run and jump and head it. That's what I've literally been doing that since I was a kid. That's what I want you to do. Just knock the ball long in the air. There's a fella behind us. I can't believe Jacko didn't mention this. There's a fella behind us who I think he might get killed at some point. And at one point, Jacko called him a daft prick, which was I loved, because he wanted Lallana to go for the ball when he was offside. But all he wanted to see us do was launch the ball and cross the ball. That's all he wanted to see us do. And we were sitting there going, my dad can be a bit like that sometimes. We didn't shoot enough, we didn't cross enough. Lad, you need to switch teams. Switch teams. Because I can't sit here and watch this. Some of us need to go to somewhere else. I think this is a problem with the world right now. We just all need to sort of split things up and all go and live in the right place. And it's the same with footy teams. Go and watch Sam Allardyce, I promise you. His teams will just knock it long, get it wide, cross the ball. Fantastic. If that's what you want to see,
you'll have a nice time.
You'll have a lovely time. And then we can stop doing it and we can have a lovely time watching lads pass the ball out from the back and sometimes give it away, but then play for 94 minutes trying to break them down playing this football instead of just launching the ball.
Stop fucking crossing.
Yeah.
Stop crossing.
Just stop.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
Stop
just
crossing.
Stop it.
You're not very good at it.
But then this is the funny bit because we're sort of going mad at this lad going, cross it, cross it, cross it. And then Milner gets it out wide, whips in a ball to, because we're saying, Firmino's in the middle with two centre halves. He's not going to win any headers.
Bang.
Oops.
Oh, yeah. Well, so we had to say, we're like, yeah, good shout that, mate. just keep shouting.
Sometimes that's what it boils down to when you're playing against these bad sides, though, isn't it? It's horses for courses. It's not necessarily the way to play against Man City or Chelsea or Man United.
But that's my frustration, is I think we set up like we were playing against Man City or Chelsea or Man United.
Yeah, by they're putting the extra mid centre mid in. Go on, let's talk about playing semi-finals. No, do you know what?
Why are you looking forward to it?
Because of how much I didn't enjoy that. Because I need to put that, I need that putting right. And I actually have a little inkling that we can do, I know it's the League Cup, but it's a Wednesday night, under the lights, it's a semi-final, we're behind in the tie. I actually think it can be a little bit of a European night type thing if we get a certain momentum behind us. And I think it might be just what the doctor ordered. It could be fucking terrible. I mean, we got a starting Wednesday. I was thinking we've got 7 days to ruin or save our season in many respects, because we've got the three competitions, and if we lost all three, and I can see that happening, we're going to have a really, really big sit down next week. We'll think about our lives and where we go from here, what countries we're going to live in, because and maybe having to switch to Sam Allardyce and his crusade, because this is a big 7 days starting. I know I said Chelsea I think is our dream next Premier League fixture, because it gives us a chance to make some sense. Imagine if we were playing Hull away next. I know that comes just after Chelsea. You'd be going, and what, and we get the win, and you're still thinking, you'd have all those doubts and regrets. But this is a chance to strike that double blow. And I think the League Cup, regardless, Neil, I know your view that it's just terrible distraction and an awful entity right now. But I do think this football club and the supporters, embodied by me in this moment in time, I am the everyman. We need that Wednesday night. I think it could be a good thing. We need something to shake us from our torpor as a football team at the moment, because this run of bad form is. And we kid ourselves. Well, we didn't kid ourselves. United, okay, it was spirited, yeah. But when did we last play well? I don't even think. City's our last win, isn't it? Or was it Stoke?
City.
Mm. We didn't play very well. The game before that, I think, is Everton.
Stoke.
We go behind there. It almost Stoke is
Middlesbrough away, wasn't it?
Middlesbrough away now. Yeah, you're right. Because that's December the 14th, I think, if my memory serves, because I've been planning that trip for a while. December the 14th. So it's a month ago we played well. And that was a game we were recovering. We haven't really been consistently in sorts since Watford and the period before that.
Since Coutinho's been out injured, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think we had one game after he was out injured, didn't we, where we played well.
Southampton away.
Yeah.
That was the 0-0.
No, he plays in that.
Coutinho. He plays in that, that's what I mean, yeah. He plays in that.
But
that's where where we began to lack a certain quality going forward.
Cutting it, yeah.
Bar Middlesbrough, where we were great. Where from nowhere we just sort of put it. It all came together and it all went really rather well. But part of that was second half when we moved Origi out to the left and put Firmino back through the middle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but we need a.
And Lallana play midfield.
Electricity back in the side
that night. Yeah, I agree with you, Rob, on the cup game coming up. It's important we get another game into the legs of these first teams before the Chelsea game. I think. Obviously, the Wolves game is just going to be the kids and the reserves and the fourth choices and players like that. So it's important that we get this fixture in before Chelsea, in my opinion. And we do have an affinity with the League Cup. Anfield will be vociferous. It'll be a local crowd number three, as some people like to call it. You know, you've got your league crowd, you've got your FA Cup crowd, and then you've got your League Cup crowds, which tends to see lots of locals going to the game. So it should be quite a noisy evening. I believe there's talk of a bus welcoming committee going on as well, isn't there? Which
I associate the League Cup with high-pitched children's squeals. To be honest with you, not a vociferous league crowd. I'll be honest with you, Chris. I'm not hearing scouse voices in baritone numbers of decency and pride. I associate it with, I can't believe there's this many children children, and I also now associate it with gobshites standing up because they hate Man U,
yeah.
which was the, perhaps the lowest ebb for our support this season, and that was in the League Cup. And if you're telling me that was a local crowd, then I'd rather they were full of lads from Kuala Lumpur.
There's definitely some sort of monitoring that needs to take place regarding the songbook, but that's, you could do a 2-hour podcast on that, Neil.
Stand up if you hate Man U. Sang the lead supporters and the Liverpool supporters stood up in unison. And clapped. Possibly the darkest night in our history. It puts yesterday's result in perspective. Never, ever, ever agree with Leeds United on anything. Should be one of the first things that's written on you. Should be written on your season ticket. But yet Liverpool found a way to do so in the League Cup, which is one of the reasons, Paul Cope, why it's a disastrous, terrible thing and should be scrapped.
Look, it's nice sitting next to Robin here in this positivity.
We all need to sit next to Rafi Gutman, who loves a cup competition and would warm the heart of anybody in the context of the League Cup, because he understands it. It's binary. He wants to see Liverpool win a trophy. He's 7 years old. All seven-year-olds, it's fine. I'm with you 100%. I can see why this is a massive deal.
You should be seven still.
We should all be seven at some point, somehow in our hearts. Right now, I feel about 98.
Yeah, and if it's physically possible for us to all sit next to Rafi on Wednesday night, then I'm well up for it.
If we, if we lose, you don't want to be.
I've heard, Jesus.
Does he squeal, Rob?
Oh, no.
His angry shakes and his
bread. His swearing game was second to none.
I want to see this at some point, by the way. I think it sounds absolutely fantastic. He should be held aloft as a beacon for all seven-year-old kids. This is how you support football.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I'm more with you than I am with Rob about Wednesday. I only justified coming to do this to my wife by saying I'd treat it as like a therapy session, and I'm going to treat Wednesday night as a therapy session and go out and get very drunk before the game. There's already a lot of talk with people I know saying, "Oh, do you want to meet up early?" And go, "Yes, very much so."
I'm not going to that game.
Yeah, let's just go and get absolutely bladdered.
That's a big lunch.
Yeah, let's just start. So mid-afternoon. Let's treat it like it's a Champions League game for the preparation, even not for the importance.
Exactly.
But do you know what? It's not going to make me feel that much better. Because if we win a day out at Wembley, and I think Wembley's absolutely shit. I'm not even that.
Everyone,
really,
yeah, that's the other I'm thing. People keep saying, you know, oh, you get a day out at Wembley. It's fucking crap. It's not Cardiff.
Cardiff ruined us.
We keep Wembley saying, like, shit. Every time we come away from Wembley, I say, I'm never going back there again.
Yeah.
But we've already booked trains and hotels like 2 months ago, so yeah. I am going to go back again.
Wembley's always been like, even when Wembley was good, it was still a fucking shit ground to go to. But it's not the point. It's symbolic of something.
I'd probably rather not have the extra game. I was thinking about this before.
Oh, no. It's about cup finals.
It puts off going to Leicester, which I'm into.
Yeah.
Leicester will happen later. I can't... Wouldn't we have to
play the midweek in between two other really important
Monday night
games?
Anyway. Oh, Monday night anyway. And it's awful. It's awful to get to. It's awful to get out of. There's one road. When they design Leicester, it's awful. I mean, you know, it's I'm sure the lovely people, and you know what I mean, fair play to them last season, etc., etc. It's not about the football team. It's about the fact that it's one road. It took us last year, we got to Leicester, and it, by the way, the extent of which this podcast got off the point. Last year, we got to Leicester, and it took us about 30 minutes to cover a distance you could have walked in 30 minutes. That's not an exaggeration. That's how long we thought we were flying. We were getting there for R5. We were ordering food ahead to get to this bar we were getting to. And a half an hour later, we'd gone no further than you could have walked in the intermediate periods. So not going to Leicester is a huge positive.
Yeah.
Didn't we get home at like 3 a.m?
Oh, the whole thing was a disaster from start to finish. And also Jamie Vardy scored that goal.
Yeah.
And it was the lowest. I mean, it put yesterday into perspective in terms of how low I felt on a football ground. Yeah. Vardy... It was up there with Viduka in 01 in terms of these are goals by oppositions that might make me cry. Though Sigurdsson third actually could well be in that category. I had to have a moment thinking, I'm surrounded by a lot of people I know here. I don't want to cry at the football. I don't want to feel
Viduka
like that.
Moments
sort of
this season, aren't we? Bournemouth felt like Viduka.
I'm all right with Bournemouth. It was mad. We were at their gaff. They were all roaring them on. They brought the best player in Europe on in Ryan Fraser.
Yeah.
You know, it was all... I was sort of all right with that, but yesterday...
I didn't like losing 3-1.
Sigurdsson yesterday.
If this season, you know, dissipates into the shite it's threatening to dissipate into...
It's a huge week. You are right to say it's a huge week. If we lose the next three games... Or in fact, if we draw against Southampton...
We're out and
probably draw against Wolves and then lose to Chelsea, and then we've got a Wolves replay.
don't want to be that person who's
the 8th or 9th
I'm sort of February. I'm sort of all right with that.
I wish the listeners could see your face
if
now.
I'm sort of all right with that, only in what Rob said before is at least in a week then we know it's done. Like it's over with. I can forget about it for another few months.
No, because then people start to do your head. Am I talking about the race for fourth?
No.
Imagine those
just switch off. I'm not going to
imagine those pricks.
I've already switched off politics. I've decided that's it now. I'm not doing any more politics.
Jester's hat on. Coming out.
At least we get a pre-season qualifier in the summer. It's probably in July or something.
The race
when we're all on holiday.
Oh, I love early qualifiers in the summer. They're so much better than pre-season friendly. Now, I was going to say, that if this does all unravel...
We're all doing concerts in various different countries. We've got a qualifier to go to instead.
If this does all unravel, we will see the turning point match of the season, that Bournemouth moment where at 3-1 we were just after Emery curls it into the top corner and it felt like we were champions. It's at that moment that this season turns against us, I think. Yeah. If you look at it, we almost haven't played well for a full game since then.
Pick me a team for Southampton and then we can end this probably for the... I mean, you know, this is one of the most popular football podcasts in the world, so I would like to apologise for you. It was formerly one of the most popular football podcasts in the world.
I mean, it unravelled in the space of a week. terrible.
Yeah. Did you listen to that Anfield Rapid? I heard three fellas having a breakdown. and Rob Gutman trying to cheer them up mostly throughout.
Jen actually said to me last night when she found out I was coming on this today, remember people we know listen to that.
Yeah. We're here, dress smartly.
Yeah. Behave yourself, yeah.
Pick a team. Oh, that's a thing.
Pick me a team for Southampton.
Right, in goal, Mignolet.
No, we're going the other way. Are you all as one? Pick me a team for Wolves and then pick me a team for Southampton. So pick me a team for, like Chris, you said before, it'd be kids, reserves, fourth choices.
Yeah.
Would you not be looking at anyone really who you could say is a first team player in the Wolves game?
I don't think so.
Are you all agreed with Chris? Because then that helps you pick yourself out.
No, I'll tell you why I'm not, and I don't think the manager will be either, because there are three lads who are terribly out of form, and at least two of them may not start against Southampton, in which case two of them probably will start against Wolves. Sturridge, Origi and Emre Can. And you probably put Ragnar Klavan into that mix now because Matip's coming back. So there's four first team level players there who are, I think three will probably miss out. Could miss out. And if they don't miss out, somebody else is going to miss out, like Wijnaldum. So Wolves won't be a total reserve side. It might be like the Plymouth replay side again, where we have two theoretically decent strikers.
You have three sort of players who have played first-team football, yeah? Plus, obviously, Lucas, who's...
I hope I'm not going to be right here, but I have a genuine fear of it. I think we could go out to Southampton. It's a tough ask. They can come and park the bus and they can do it better than Swansea can and other teams that have done it successfully to us recently. They can come and put us out. And then Klopp's going to be in a really difficult position then, because the Cup will, A, assume slightly more importance, the FA Cup, because it's one of the only trophies, probably the only trophy we can win. It becomes, he has to accept that's a possibility. But more than that, he gets into that mindset, which all managers get into at some point, is we need a win from somewhere, and I have to go strong again, I don't rotate. We saw Mourinho do this, and actually sort of got him out of his rut. So he actually goes, fuck Chelsea, this football club's got to win its next match, and he goes with his first team against Wolves. And I tell you what, if we lose to Southampton, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Yeah, that's because he'd have pride, wouldn't he, to try and recover if we do go out to Southampton. But don't forget, I mean, the Cups, they're just not important in terms of, you know, the directors of the club and people like that. They're not interested in them. I mean, even Dalglish would have got the sack, apparently, if we'd have won
the FA Cup. Yeah.
The FA Cup, you know, they're just
rightly
not.
So.
So I know you hate the fight for fourth, Neil, but... It is the most important thing when you can't win the league. In the eyes of the owners, basically, the money that generates is the main thing. So I don't know what he'll do with Wolves. I'd like to think he'd keep the kids in because he needs to know that he's got decent options coming in from the bench. Basically, doesn't look like he's going to buy anyone in January because he likes to keep his tight-knit group together and he trains them to play the way he wants them to play, all of them, you know, regardless of their levels of ability. So there's a one style of playing, isn't it? So I think he's got to give the kids another chance, basically, to, you know, the likes of Vajaria and Old Joe and Woodburn and players like that.
Those three definitely start
because they need more game time. Southampton, I'd probably be tempted to rest Klein. I don't think he's having the best of times. I'd bring Trent back in.
Yeah.
He's still suffering, apparently, isn't he, from his ribs? He played with a painkilling injection.
Did he?
Right.
Again, maybe you just play Alexander-Arnold yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
He covers well, doesn't he, Alexander-Arnold? I like to think he might have been there for Sigurdsson.
It's quite strange, isn't it, that he had a good game against Man United, Trent, and then, you know, you'd expect him to be rewarded with another game against Swansea yesterday, but maybe he'll get his chance again on Wednesday.
Well, he gives us more options again. That's another good example, because I think he could well start against Southampton.
Yeah.
And then you can go slightly stronger against Wolves. As I said, his dilemma is how he uses Sturridge and Origi. That's what he's sitting there going, I know the players, the Sturridge and Origi, I want to put into these next two games, that version, but I can't trust these lads at all at the moment. That's the sad thing.
If you bring Lallana back into the middle, then...
I hope he does that.
Then you can do that, can't you?
Yeah. So pick those teams.
Pick me a Southampton team. You've talked through what you do with the FA Cup, so pick me a Southampton team.
I've been sold on the idea that Trent could come back in, because I think he'll want to shake something up. So I think that's a good shout. 50-50 it happens, but I think that's a good shout. Milner keeps his place. Matip does come back in and partners Lovren. Henderson, Wijnaldum, and hopefully Lallana form the midfield three. And then ahead of them, that becomes Coutinho starts with a view to him getting as close to 90 as possible. Firmino in the middle. And then he's got a decision, and I think, what does he do? It probably goes Origi out wide with a view to keeping Sturridge as a wild card. I think that's what he'll do. And then the next team for Wolves,
anyone disagree with the team?
Oh, sorry, Karius in goal.
Who's in goal? Is it Karius for against Southampton? Or both? I'd probably stick with Mignolet, I think.
I don't know what he'll do, but I mean, I think...
He's played Karius in the Cups, hasn't he, since dropping
him. I think he feels... duty bound to, and I think he trusts Karius enough, maybe wrongly, but he does.
I think, do you think that's a mad thing generally? Someone said this to me last week, a mate. He said, usually when you're bringing in your reserve keeper for the cup games, it's because they haven't played and they don't play this season. But Karius has played this season, he's played loads.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we get to the finals, do you play Karius or do you play Mignolet?
I think he might play Karius. I think he's got this. Yeah, I think he quite likes that dynamic there at Barcelona, you know, the Bravo Ter Stegen thing. Yeah. And I think he thinks they're both decent up to a point. And why not? Why not back Karius all the way? Mignolet won't complain. Mignolet's getting the league games. So Wolves, we go Karius in goal, we all agree. If Trent starts against Southampton, then he gets a chance to bring Klein back in for Wolves. Yeah, I would have thought.
I think he'll do it the other way around. I think he'll go full strength, or in his head, full strength for Southampton. So which means Klein.
Okay, all right. So then Trent would start against Wolves and Moreno would come in the other side. He's actually got, interestingly, at full centre-half, he's then got Clavin and Gomez now, because assuming Clavin drops out for Matip, which strengthens in midfield because Lucas can go and play at the base of the midfield, or Kev Stewart can maybe go into the number eight position, and then Ajari are there. So it's quite a solid midfield of sorts. And then ahead of them, you're going to have Ojo, Woodburn, and one of Sturridge and Regi that gets less minutes, I think. It's a half-decent team if they decide to play well against Wolves.
Yeah.
Chris, are you going to disagree with me?
No, Rob, you've stated your case very clearly and very...
I thank you for that, Chris.
Yeah, very honestly.
I have, I gave it my best.
Very persuasively, yeah.
I gave it my best.
The only thing I'd say with the goalkeeper situation is if we get to Wembley and it is Man United, then... I don't know, I'd probably be picking Mignolet. I know I'm all for rewarding the goalkeeper if he's played in the earlier rounds, but you know, you've got that aspect to think about.
We're not sitting around talking about rewarding Lucas, if you know what I mean. We're not.
Well, no.
Lucas played the earlier rounds. We're not sitting around saying, well, we reward Lucas for captaining this side so far. We should be doing that, but we're not doing that.
No.
I'd be gutted for Lucas because he still hasn't got a medal, has he, for us? And you know, maybe he deserves one before he leaves these pastures.
Well, let's bring him on with 1 minute to go then.
Exactly,
we need to win this. We need to win these medals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel, yeah.
Okay.
I'm less worried about him than me.
All right. Huge thank you to Chris Maguire, to Rob Gutman, to Paul Cope. This has been the Anfield Wrap after Liverpool crash to defeat against Swansea. It is a big week. There's no getting away from the fact that it is a big week. Liverpool now have a game against Southampton, a game against Wolves, and then what feels like a defining moment against Chelsea, whether or not we've still got an interest in this league in February. In the meantime, fucking come on, Hull. Sports Social Podcast Network.